On today's episode of No Days Off, we react to UFC 251 and look ahead to all the remaining fights on Fight Island and coming up into August. Welcome back to another episode of No Days Off. If you're not subscribed, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Go to our Instagram. Give us a follow at No Days Off Podcast, ladies and gents. And I know I keep talking about the YouTube on like past episodes and stuff. We'll get it rocking. Right now, we're just focusing on the podcast, focusing on the Instagram, and just kind of rocking with that. We announced our podcast officially on our own like personal social medias yesterday. I thought it went really well.
Oh, it went great, dude.
I don't know how we track it exactly, like on Apple Podcasts, if we get exact statistics and such, but
no, and what Zach's saying is, so we've been recording a bunch of episodes, but we officially just like came out with it that, hey, we're doing this, we're rocking it. And I mean, we've done NFL stuff, we've done college football stuff, we've done Cam Newton stuff, Pat Mahomes stuff, a bunch of UFC stuff. And now today we're talking UFC 251 breakdown. It was last night. Card went from about 10 o'clock p.m. to about 2 o'clock a.m. last night.
Jake's still a little sleepy.
Dude, I haven't slept well in general, dude. I don't know what's up. Not that whatever. I don't get enough sleep. Just
it's all good, dude.
Peace of mind, but my voice a little raspy, dude, just because I'm a little pissed, dude. I thought the ref should have stopped that Aldo fight a little earlier. I thought Holloway got highway robbery.
Dude, big time.
On him, dude. I'm just pissed. I just hate this wrestling fight. Base thing. We'll get into this stuff.
It's
versus
part of the game, dude.
Masvidal
sucks,
just,
but it's
just
part
fight.
Of the game.
It's UFC. It's Ultimate Fighting. It's not Ultimate Wrestling, dude. It's just that pisses me off.
But
sometimes.
It's part of the game, dude. It's part of the game. But let's go in. Hey, let's go to the first
All
fight.
Right, sorry,
of the main
we're
card,
right in,
dude. First fight to the main card, and as we expected, dude, we both went 4-1 on our fight picks.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, I think I went out for a touch of like, hey, like I wanted to see if Andrade would win, and you went on a touch for hey Aldo would win, and
yeah.
We both. Chose Volkanovski, but secretly we're rooting for Holloway, and you know
the whole time. So, but when we look at that first fight, Amanda Ribas versus Paige VanZant, dude. Paige VanZant leaving the UFC most likely after that loss in 90 seconds to Amanda Ribas by armbar submission. Man, she tapped. She was looking like she was trying to get out of it, but it was just like, hey, man, this is locked in too tight. Ribas is awesome on the ground, especially due to the fact that she got it against the canvas. Her judo throw down, she's just got that judo background, man. She looked really good. I don't know if I liked her that much at flyweight. I felt like she looked a little bit more in shape at strawweight, but yeah. I don't know, man. I think she's hoping to be a two-division champion as she keeps progressing her career, but we'll see how that
a
goes.
Lot of
she
people,
looked really good, man.
Yeah,
dude,
no. I mean, Dana said in his post-fight conference that people just love her. Like, his phone was blowing up because people were like, hey, dude.
She's got a great attitude.
Got a great attitude, got a great personality. The thing, I was just a little pissed. I kind of felt a little let down. I don't know if this sounds weird, but I almost wanted Ribas to beat her up a little more, like, just fight her a little more. And
I know. You were bad for Paige almost, too, which was interesting.
I don't know if I was feeling bad. I just feel like Paige didn't get to do anything. And she traveled halfway around the world to... And, you know, we talked about in our first breakdown before this even happened, like our predictions, and we kind of said it. Like, I remember saying exactly, like, hey, if Paige was close to submission and she's got all this Instagram side hustle rolling, how is she going to deal with that? And, like, nah, forget this.
She looked
like,
emotional.
I got my own stuff, but.
She looked emotional, and I think a lot of people were tweeting it, obviously. She's probably going to end up in Bellator after that loss in 90 seconds. Dana White in his post UFC 251 post-fight press conference was talking about how she should test free agency.
He likes her.
He likes her, but she just talked a lot of shit about how she's not getting paid enough and this and that. Then she gets her ass whooped like that in 90 seconds.
Can I ask you a question, though? Can you make the determination? Maybe you can't. Was Ribas super impressive to you, or was Paige just super underwhelming? Or was there not enough time to
tell? Dude,
it
was 90 seconds.
There wasn't enough time to tell.
I mean, if we saw it go, you know, 15 minutes, I'd be able to give you a little bit clearer distinction. I think she got her against the cage, hip tossed her right to the floor, and she got that submission, like, in quick. It wasn't like, hey, this is going to take a while. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she was looking for with the armbar, and she got it, man. I thought she was going to get a performance bonus for that, but she didn't end up getting one.
Nah.
As we look ahead... somebody who
and we both called it Hibas.
Yeah, that was a yeah, that was 1-0 for the night for both of us. Then we move on to the Rose Namajunas Jessica Andrade fight. Awesome fight, dude. Awesome fight. I felt like the first two rounds clearly went to Rose, and that third round was definitely Jessica Andrade's.
Oh yeah,
she just Rose looked amazing in the first two rounds, but she almost looked like she was gassing out a touch in the third.
Yeah,
and Andrade was surprisingly coming on really strong. That was the fight of the night for UFC 251. Also, two performance bonuses also were Jiří Procházka, who just moved over from Ryzen. He was the Ryzen light heavyweight champion who knocked out Volkan Ozdemir. And also the first fight of the night was Davy Grant.
Mm-hmm. Performance of the night, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that it was interesting as Andrade started this fight. I mean, as soon as she came out, her like head movement was just so... weird, dude. It was just like too forced. Like if you saw her come out, like when the fight first started, she came out and she was just bobbing, like overdoing it. I know you want to move some head and like throw him off a little bit, but she was overdoing, almost using a ton of energy. And you saw Rose; she had the height advantage, the reach advantage, just looking real technical, looking real steady. And Draj is a tank, though, dude.
She's got power.
Is a tank.
The thing is, Rose was making her miss, dude. Rose was making her miss.
Accuracy was a huge issue for Andrade. Accuracy was a huge issue for her.
But Rose got busted up. They both got busted up a little bit, but Rose at the end, man, she had a ton of swelling underneath her left eye, I think it was, and her nose was pouring blood out of it. So I don't know if she broke her nose or what it was, but man, she was just pouring blood. She looked good for her first time back. I think the next thing clearly is obviously the matchup between Rose Namajunas and Zhang Weili Zhang, however you want to say her name, but the strawweight champion of the world after Weili beat the breaks off of Ioana and Jacek. And it was a close fight for sure the last time we saw them both out there. But I think the clear-cut number one contender is Rose Namajunas after that. So
yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be very technical, striking matchup. But the way things look, I think Weili Zhang has the upper hand right now, obviously. Yeah. Just like power output. Rose did not look like... She had some good strikes for sure, but she didn't look as powerful as I thought she was going to.
She didn't look as explosive nor fast. You want her to use
her footwork looked great, though.
Her more kicks and see that explosiveness of that drive with through the legs. And I don't know, just the speed wasn't there in terms of the lower body action. But
also, you got to understand this is her first fight back in a long, long time, man. Long, long time. So,
hey, your boy Trevor Whitman coaching her up well. He was 2-0 last night.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
And for those who don't know, Trevor Whitman is just a kind of renowned coach. Really good striking.
One of the best in the world, man.
Excellence.
One of the best in the world up in Colorado. So
he was mentioned quite a few times yesterday because he's also the coach for Kamaru Usman and he coached up Rose. So give him props.
Jake picked Andrade in this one. I picked Rose. I was happy with that outcome. And then as we look forward to, I thought was one of the best fights of the night as well, was Petr Yan versus Jose Aldo Jr. So when you look at that fight, it didn't go the full five rounds. It went to the 5-round mark. But about 3 minutes and 24 seconds into it, we saw Petr Yan finish Jose Aldo.
Like shit out of him, dude.
Almost like he was doing his job, man. He was doing his job. He wasn't, it's not his fault. It was a terrible stoppage by the referee.
Honestly, dude, that should have been stopped. I mean, he was a minute, 2 minutes even before. People were pissed. Dana was pissed.
A lot of people were pissed.
How do you not? I mean, Aldo's just bleeding all over the mat and just clearly not making any effort to fight back.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he gave him every chance, man. He gave him every chance to kind of get himself back into the fight. But when you look at the breakdown, round one, I think it clearly went to Petr Yan. He almost got Aldo out of there in the first round. But then, like, I was like, oh, my God, this might get stopped. But then, like, that was a clear, obvious point that the ref was going to let these guys fight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought rounds two and three
Aldo went to came Aldo. Out on round two. He almost changed up his position. You saw him. He came ready to roll. So round two and three, I think he did quite well. I mean,
I
it
thought
was
he
impressive.
Won both of those rounds clearly. And then as they got to the
he
championship,
got his leg kicks involved, which is what we called for.
Yeah, man. I thought as soon as they went to the championship rounds, it was amazing to see Petr Yan just his tempo went up like crazy. And everybody was talking about that. Like he just is so like mathematical in there. And he's just analyzing every aspect of his opponent's game. And he just started picking it up in the fourth and the fifth and just took it to Aldo. Aldo started looking almost deconditioned, dude. He looked almost out of
shape.
Started
the fourth round.
In the fourth. And then in the fifth, it was just an absolute domination. I think the strike differential in the fifth round, And it's clear as day because he got wobbled. But it was like 61-1.
Oh, I was going to say 50-100.
Yeah,
one,
it was like 62 or 61-1 for Piotr Jan versus Jose Aldo, which was tough.
He got him down. It just was ground and pound. Just
beating the shit out of him. But yeah, Aldo looked good, man. A lot of people are like, hey.
I think the positive thing coming out is that Aldo did look good in those that second and third round in particular.
I agree.
Looked really, you know.
He was having success.
Formidable.
Man. He was having success, body shots. His boxing looked great. Like we talked about in the podcast of the breakdown, we said we need to see his kicks get involved. His first leg kick that he threw knocked down Piotr Jan.
Yep.
It was awesome to see. And he was starting to get a little more aggressive with his kicks to the body, to the head, to the legs. And it was great. I thought he looked good, man. I think he just looked a little bit out of shape. I don't know if he was. It's been a while since he's gone five rounds. But if you look at the last couple guys he's fought, everybody's giving shit to Jose Aldo like, hey, it's time to retire. He just fought Piotr Jan for the championship of the world in the bantamweight division. Fought Marlon Moraes, who is a number one contender and
number
just fought,
now.
You know, Henry Cejudo as a title challenger. And then before that, he fought Renato Moicano. And before that, Alexander Volkanovski. He's fought like all these guys, man, who are just legit contenders. So it's not like he's had this easy stretch of opponents. People are saying that it's time for him to retire.
I think he still looks good.
Somebody brought up the matchup of Aldo versus Dominic Cruz. And I was like, dude, that's actually a great matchup.
Yeah, I think
because you think back to like WEC in the beginning of the UFC, Dom was the bantamweight king. Aldo was the featherweight king. And I would just love to see that matchup. And I think Cruz is looking for an opponent anyway. I think Aldo will have to take some time off. Because I'm pretty sure, I didn't hear anything specifically, but I'm pretty sure, dude, that he broke his ribs. I'm pretty sure he broke his ribs at some point
in the first round.
Yeah,
he got down the ground, and Jan was just going at him. And one of the shots was a body shot. And as soon as it hit off of his ribs, his stomach,
I was like, oh my God, this
is
over.
He went so bad, dude.
Yeah, I thought it was over right
and,
there.
And didn't seem to affect him too. I don't know what, but maybe adrenaline took over.
After that, the second and third round, he looked awesome. I thought, like I said, I thought he won the second
this
and third.
Is Aldo.
And it looked super good going forward. And then Piotr Jan just came through in the fourth, and then the fifth, he stopped Aldo. I think Piotr Jan's a big problem in that bantamweight division, dude. He's good
he's
all
good.
Around.
He's a very good striker. How would you say he'd do against like a wrestler type? As
like Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
Henry Cejudo, I think he'd do well, man. His takedown defense is legit. Now, Cejudo's, you know, an Olympic gold medalist in freestyle wrestling. I've never seen Piotr Jan against a guy of that magnitude. He's a great striker, but he's known for having phenomenal takedown defense, man. His clinch work is awesome as well. I love his knees and elbows out of the clinch. But I think the weird thing, and I was listening to the post-fight press conference again with Dana, and everybody thought it was Aljamain Sterling next. And a reporter asked Dana White saying, hey, it's clearly Aljamain Sterling next up for Piotr Jan, right? And Dana was like, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
He wanted Marlon
Moraes. Yeah.
He wanted Marlon
Somebody
Moraes.
Brought up Moraes. And they were, so Jan and Moraes were supposed to fight before the coronavirus hit, like I said on the last podcast about UFC. And I think Dana just loves that matchup. I think he loves that like high-level striking. I think Moraes and Piotr Jan would be an awesome fight. I do want to see Aljamain Sterling get his shot, and I don't think he should take another fight. I think he is the number one contender. So that's just my opinion on that, dude. I was so impressed with Piotr Jan in the championship rounds.
He looked really good,
He looked
too.
Good the whole time.
And we were worried about
rounds.
That because he hadn't had much experience at that. That fourth, fifth round. But
In the UFC. Yeah.
Just back to Aldo for a second before we move on to the next one. His body looks really good at 135.
I think that's his division.
He looks
though, man.
Really
I don't
lean
go.
And muscular and strong. And I don't know. I was just really impressed with him.
I don't want
rounds.
Him to go back to featherweight, dude. I don't want him to.
I think if he gets another shot, you know, non-title shot,
he needs
three
to relax
rounds,
a little bit, though. Yeah,
three rounds, build up his, you know, do well, build his confidence. I think that could do really well for him. Then make.
I do
want to
see him and Cruz. I do want to see him and Cruz. I don't know. Personally, I love, obviously, the striking battle a little bit more.
Yep.
I would want to see Moraes probably challenge Piotr Jan for his bantamweight championship. But I do think Aljamain Sterling is super deserving as well. What he did to Corey Sandhagen at UFC 250 was impressive, dude. Just dominated him right from the bell, grappling extraordinaire, and then choked him out. He tapped, but as soon as he released it, Corey was out. Corey Sandhagen was out. It's super impressive. And Sterling's been calling for the shot at Jan, so he's not afraid of this dude. No matter how technical of a striker is, no matter how many people are like scared of him and all this stuff.
A lot of people breathing down his throat. They all want a shot. You mentioned it last night when we were watching that these two, Aldo and Jan, that is former training partners.
Yeah, former training
partners. How do you feel about that? Like, do you like it when former training partners or current training partners go against each other? Or do you more prefer it like they have disconnect? Or do you care either way?
I don't care. I don't care. I think it was interesting because I was watching the lead up and, you know, watching their behind the scenes, like before they actually fight, I forget what it's called, that the UFC does. And Piotr Jan was saying he doesn't think Aldo has evolved at all. And I think Aldo showed him, especially rounds 2 and 3, like, hey man, I'm still going to come at you no matter what, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here for a while. Even if I don't know if he'll ever be a contender again for the 135 pound belt, 145 pound belt. But at the same time, man, I really like what I saw from Jose Aldo. He looked good.
Strong mental dude. He was getting his ass kicked.
I know he got his ass kicked in round 5. I get that the fight was stopped.
Referee issue.
And it looked bad at the end. But, man, he looked good. And I think if he gets the right opponent next time, like a Dominic Cruz, who is a viable contender as well, you know, considered one of the best bantamweights of all time, I think that'd be a great fight as well. I think that'd be a great fight, man. So on this one, I picked Jose Aldo. Jake picked Piotr Jan.
I did.
So that
I just think
great,
he's a smart fighter.
Yeah, it was a great
pick. I mean, I was honestly, you know, some of these ones, like, you pick them because you know that they have a good chance of winning, but you're kind of rooting for the underdog in a lot of cases. So
for sure. And speaking of that, we're kind of going to go forward to the featherweight championship of the world, man.
Some bullshit.
The rematch between Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway, and it was just so tough to watch this because we both picked Volkanovski to win, and I never wanted to be more wrong in my life.
Yeah.
But kind of going forward, I just want you guys to hear this because I think everybody knows the decision by now. Volkanovski got the nod in a split decision, 48-47 over Max. But this is the president of the UFC, Dana White, reacting to this and kind of talking to some reporters about it. Let's hear.
Co-main event, obviously very, very close fight there as well. Were you scoring that one along? And did you have Volkanovski winning? Did you have Holloway? What'd you think?
Listen, man, you can't leave it. You can't leave it to these guys. We got some bad judging. We got some bad judging, and I don't know, has Max been in here yet? I'm sure he's devastated, and, you know, yeah.
So normally when a guy is 2-0 against, you know, a champ, we don't get to see a third fight, but seeing as how you maybe think it went the other way, do you think?
I don't know, did anybody in here score it for Volkanovski? Anybody have it for Volkanovski? Nobody in the media? Yeah, so I don't know. We'll have to figure it out.
That's tough to hear, man, from the president of the damn company. I agree with him, man. Like I said, Jake and I we picked Volkanovski, but the whole time we were freaking on the edge of our seats because we're like, holy shit, Max is beating the shit out of this dude. He knocked him down 3 times, I think, in the entire fight.
Yeah.
First round with the head kick, dropped him. I thought that was, you know, rounds 1 and 2 were clear.
I thought you had to go round 1, 2, and 3.
I thought round 3 was Max's as well. I know that was a little bit of a tighter round. I thought for sure rounds 4 and 5 were for Volkanovski, but dude.
But it was a close, like 4 and 5 were Max was in there as well. Like it wasn't like Volkanovski like totally came. Maybe the last round, the 5th round, he threw him down a couple times. But beyond that, like Holloway was in there.
The thing is, you got to think about this. When you take somebody down and you don't do anything, it's he didn't control him. Max got taken down and then got right back up to his feet. There was no control time in the process of that. And think about all the takedowns he defended as well, dude. It's just like a takedown can't mean so much in one championship fight. And then when you look at the Jessica Andrade fight, why the hell didn't it matter that much against Rose? And it just started, I don't know, man. It was just so weird to me that
it was inconsistent. That clip that you played was perfect. I actually had the same 1-2 play, so I'm glad you
played
that.
That's funny, dude.
But, you know, obviously Dana was frustrated with that. No one. I mean, it wasn't. Dana asked a question to the group of journalists who were there at the post-fight conference. No one raised their hand that they had.
Nobody.
Volkanovski.
Nobody said they did.
Which I think even casts even more doubt because there was a little doubt after the first fight. It did, you know, whether Volkanovski actually. Now there's even more.
Like, I thought in the first fight Volkanovski won that pretty clearly to me, but I thought it was clear as day that Max won this fight. And just hearing.
He thought he did. Like, I remember after the fight ended. He was like talking to his corner, like, hey, you know, get ready to come in, like, get your mask on or whatever.
Who is this?
This was Max. Like, he was saying something like, hey, if you want to come in, like, we're going to get ready. Assuming that he thought he had won.
100%.
And as we know,
he's just
split decision.
Yeah, man. He's just such a professional. And he, you know, I didn't see any post-fight interviews. I wish we could have. I think everybody was just trying to respect Max in the process of, you know, taking that L and all that shit. And I saw this morning that he's auctioning off his fight kit. He posted something on Twitter this morning that he's auctioning off his fight kit for the Food Bank of Hawaii. He's just such a good dude, man. Yeah. And I thought he looked like the best Max Holloway I've seen in a while.
Man. I loved it, dude. He was edgy at the start.
His spinning back kicks were freaking awesome. He was
taunting him.
Yeah,
he was taunting him in the beginning, dude.
Volkanovski after he wobbled him a couple times, and then was telling John Anik to shh as he was going back to his corner after the first round. Then he won the second round as well and goes 2-0. It's just. I never wanted to be more wrong, and I couldn't believe when they read the decision and said, and still, I said, yeah. Bruce Buffer was announcing, and I go, new, it's got to be new, and he goes, still, and Volkanovski couldn't, like, he was so excited, because I think deep down, he knows he didn't win that fight, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He can say whatever he wants in his post-fight interview with the media, how he, you know, this chapter with Max is over and everything like that, but like Jake was saying, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over, man. And he was talking all this shit about how Max is just being a poor sport and can't take his loss. Dude, you lost that fight.
I think anyone who watched that fight, dude, would just
rewatch
think,
it.
Okay, Holloway came up on
you
top.
Can say
like, he was the better fighter.
You can say takedowns. You can say this and that. Dude, you lost that fight. You lost that. It was clear as day, 3 rounds to 2. You scroll down Instagram. You scroll down the YouTube comments section. Everybody and their grandmother, besides like two dudes who are Australians, are saying that Max got robbed. And I couldn't agree more, dude.
Yeah, that was some highway robbery. The one funny thing, just a side note related, though, on Volko's walkout, there it's gone around like Barstool and stuff, how...
Oh, yeah, that was
hilarious.
He came
out, you know, Volko's like, what, 5'6"?
5'6".
The dude he was walking next to must have been like 6'5", dude.
And NBA player?
Such a discrepancy, and that's getting blown up as a little bit of a meme. So, that's separate, but yeah, I think we were both disappointed because you like Max a lot. I like Max.
Big fan, man. Big fan of Holloway.
So what's next for Holloway?
Dude, I have no idea. I have no idea. You look at the Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega are slated to fight. Max already beat Brian Ortega. And then Zabit, Magomed Sharipov is supposed to be fighting, I believe, Yair Rodriguez. So a lot of those top five featherweights are already slotted up, man. So it's like, does Max take some time off and focus on strength and conditioning, move up to lightweight? And Chael Sonnen said it really best, dude. It's so weird because Chael thought Max won the previous fight against Volkanovski, and he for sure thought he won this one. So he thinks the weirdest thing is the best fighter in the division, who he believes won the belt twice, doesn't have a belt, doesn't have a fight, and doesn't know where he's going to end up. The best fighter in the division is without a home right now.
Yeah.
In Max Holloway. And I was like, dude, that's a phenomenal point. Like, this dude arguably won the first one. I thought he didn't win the first one, but people will argue for Max that he won that first one. I thought he definitely won the second one. So it's, does he move up to lightweight? Does he move up to 155 and try his hand up there? There's a ton of good fights.
I think so.
I think he can, man. I thought he looked so fucking good, dude.
I think
and
he
it's
does
just a bummer to think about. I thought he looked so damn good against Volko.
Yeah, and we don't want to be all, you know, lamenting and down the.
He's not the guy who's going to make excuses, though, dude. He's going to be like, hey, the judges thought this and that. He's just a professional and just a good fucking dude.
Yeah, but all right.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that anymore. That is what it is. Yeah.
It is the game.
Like Max says, it is what it is.
You can't like challenge the. You can't throw the penalty flag and like challenge the call. It is what it is. So with that being said, I mean, so far we've talked about a little bit of ref issues, not stopping the Aldo fight, a little bit of judging issues, not really calling this right. I think that most people would agree this wasn't called right. So just some things that Dana has to address a little bit as they start this Yas Island, you know, action. All right, let's move on.
Main event. Welterweight champion Kamaru Usman takes on Jorge Masvidal, and it was a dominant performance. Two judges had it 50-45, one had it 49-46 for Usman. I thought, just the way I was scoring it, I thought George won the first one. I thought Masvidal won the first round, and I thought Kamaru won every other round after that. Mm-hmm. And I think the realization set in for Kamaru that first round, there was no chance he was going to beat him in a stand-up fight. That's why we saw that clinch work against the fence. We saw the takedowns. All that, dude.
I hate when they have to resort to that. I get it.
It's part of the game, though.
It's part of the game.
Masvidal looked like he was getting tired. You can tell the 6 days' notice, the weight cut took a toll on him. And it was tough to see because I was so...
He could have looked worse, dude, considering...
Absolutely.
He could have looked worse.
He didn't get
considering
finished.
Considering it, you know, there was word that he's been bringing in some high-level wrestlers, you know, taking action, training with guys. So he could have looked worse, but he lasted all five rounds, made it to the decision. He had explosive... action moments, when he got out of the clinches and stuff. So
he was talking about it in his post-fight press conference, how he had to time those explosions quickly.
Yeah.
Like he had to be smart about when he exploded and when he didn't. And he did well, man. You can tell as soon as he was.
I think he had a good strategy. Like you talked about it. He knew that he had to take advantage of the times when he wasn't in the clinch around the floor getting wrestled. I think a lot of people were impressed with some of his defense, some of his takedown defense, some of his wrestling getting out of the mix. And it'd be interesting to see how a rematch went if he had more of a camp. I just know, though, I mean, I think the key thing, if anyone watched the post fight conference with Masvidal, is that he was just disappointed. And I got a clip. I think Zach have one or something. We'll see.
Let's play
But he was just generally, I think, disappointed.
His jab was I knew he had an okay jab, but his jab was okay, you know. His fakes, though, I could tell he was just level changing the fake. He was able to like kind of lure me to sleep and then grab me for the clinch, you know, where he'd fake. And then all of a sudden he was grabbing me and we were up against the fence. And there was other areas where I felt real good, actually. When he got into my legs, I felt I could wrestle with him all day. I stuffed a lot of takedowns. I'll be back, you know. He knows that I'm no pushover. I just feel like I let a lot of people down, man. It was a shitty performance.
Ah, no, man. He's a good six dude, days. Man.
And I hate
that I had to hear that he said that, but it's like, he's
the
a
guy,
fighter.
Literally, the reporter, I think if you play.
Yeah, let me keep playing. Look, let me keep playing. He said it right
dude,
there.
It's on six
Here
days,
we go. Man. We're going to continue that clip.
Like, you know, you said you guys don't have to talk shit anymore to each other. I know there was some genuine bad blood going
on. No, it was another thing, but the reporter said it.
Literally, the reporter says, dude. I think he said it like right after it.
He said, dude, 6 days notice, man. He had 6 days.
Dude, you didn't let anybody down. 6 days notice, man. And he's absolutely right. Like, the biggest thing is. What I love about like guys like Masvidal and Conor McGregor, if they lose, dude, they're pretty humble in defeat, man. He had no excuses. He was really complimentary of Usman, man.
He was, and I'll play this. I'll play this part.
Yeah, go ahead.
They talked a lot of shit, you know, in the build-up.
Leading up.
You know, it looked like they kind of squashed some of that, so let's play this. There's another question.
You spent 25 minutes in there together?
The competitive, you know, I want to take everybody's head off. I want to take his head off even more now that he beat me, but I just feel like, especially me and him, that we don't have to promote the next fight like that. We don't have to talk about each other's religion or ethnicities or nothing like that. You know, he said some things that weren't necessary, and I'm sure I said some things that probably weren't the best. I just think about the future generations. You don't have to promote fights like that or sell pay-per-views. I heard that this card did great anyways, you know, but I feel it doesn't have to be promoted like that, especially for the younger guys coming up. They don't need to think that you always need to talk shit to sell a pay-per-view, you know, or disrespect a man's religion or anything like that. So we'll do it again, you know.
You mentioned the
thing is they both want to do that fight again, man. It's not just Masvidal. Yeah, the challenger lost. Obviously wants another shot at the title. But you listen to Usman in his post fight press conference, and we don't have to pull up a clip. I'll just tell you. He wants to do that fight again. And maybe it's because of the numbers Masvidal brings in, which is no joke, dude. That pay per view, Dana said at least that it was trending towards the level of Khabib and Conor. And
which
I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know the numbers it did, but it was a bad, like I for sure was really excited about this just because of Masvidal and the numbers he can bring in, the eyes he can bring in. It was tough watching that, man. I thought, I know Kamaru Usman's legit. I know he's won dominant decisions. He just finished Kobe Covington before Masvidal. Before that, he won a dominant decision against Tyron Woodley where it was 50-45 or even might have been 50-44 for some of the scorecards against Woodley, who's considered one of the best welterweights of all time.
Not a big fan.
And Usman might be one of the best welterweights of all time, dude, but there's no doubt that he's just a boring champion. He's just a boring champion. I think the Gilbert Burns-Kamaru Usman fight, which most likely is going to happen next, it's going to be a legit fight.
That's the one Dana's excited for, I think.
I think a lot of people in the company are excited for it. But what are the numbers going to do, man?
It's just,
you gotta
it's
put,
funny, dude, because like, let me interrupt you for 1 second. Like, I remember after this ended, you're like, this was last night when we were watching, you're like, Damn, I don't think I'd order a pay-per-view if
100%. Yeah.
If Usman was on that.
Yeah.
That main
You're
card,
right,
you
dude.
Know, it's like just cuz it was boring. Like like getting down on the floor and just wrestling and not trying to win, like just holding your opponent there isn't fun or engaging. Like it's different story if you're trying to elbow him and trying to take him down and just hammer
fist
active,
him
though. Or try and submit, but I think that a lot of these guys, like Tyron Woodley included, like do that shit just to waste time, show that they're dominating to the judges and have no intention of actually getting stand up and trying to beat the shit out of the person or fight them legitimately. So I get that's part of the game.
Know.
I didn't want to interrupt you. What were you saying?
I don't know if I agree with that, dude. I think it is part of the game. It's just boring. It's what Usman, Ariel Helwani said this. It's what Usman had to do to win the fight. There's no other way to put it. You saw it in round one. And for those judges that gave round one to Usman, what are you fucking doing, dude? Giving him a 50-45. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But it was clear as day that on the feet, Masvidal had the overall advantage, dude. It was like
you're right,
you saw
though.
The strike differential between the two in the first round. And then from there, Usman just had, I think the final strike tally was like 263 and Masvidal's was 88, dude. And he had 43 in the first round. So it's just... It's tough.
And
it was a dominant performance.
Dude, a lot of that
Usman
stuff was just slamming his foot in his toes and stuff and doing that bullshit. And the one thing that you saw at the start of the fight, and you're right about this, dude, your point that first round kind of probably told Usman that this can't be a strike.
No
this can't be a striking battle.
And you heard Whitman say that in the corner of Usman, like, you can't let this guy breathe. You got to be head to head with him, head to chest with him on the fence. And if you get a chance, you can step away and fire off some shots, but you didn't see Usman step away too often.
Yeah, that start of the first round, too, I felt bad because they were spraying down the mats in between just trying to desanitize with all the COVID stuff. And some folks were saying that it was a little slippery wet. And you saw Masvidal, you know, he had some explosive bouts, and one of them, he
slipped.
Went for the kick, slipped a little bit. Usman caught his leg and just took him down, I think. You know, I wish he didn't slip and could keep it up, but hey.
The thing is, same thing I talked about with Holloway. Masvidal got right back up to his feet, dude. He got right back up to his feet and was able to kind of dictate the rest of the pace of the round. So I just don't know what these judges are looking for when it comes to the takedowns and everything like that. But as we keep going forward, man, I don't know what's next for Masvidal. I think next for Usman for sure is Gilbert Burns is the number one contender. A lot of people are calling for Masvidal to take a little bit of time off, obviously, heal up his face because he got cut up pretty bad from some... you know, headbutts from Usman, just incidental. It wasn't on purpose.
Yeah,
but I think next for Gamebred could be Leon Edwards from the UK or his former teammate in Kobe Covington, which I know there's a lot of bad blood between those two.
You said
tough,
Nate Diaz was a hard no.
Masvidal said that?
I think he was alluding to that. He didn't quite say it directly, but...
Masvidal said that.
Yeah, I think he wasn't down for that one. I think the Leon Edwards one he was a little more open to.
I think he's saying mainly that... he wants his quickest way back to another title shot.
Yeah.
He wants it on a full camp. He was saying that his gas tank wasn't there, dude. And I believe him, man. I saw him in the Nate Diaz fight. I've seen him in the Darren Till fight. I know what he looks like when he's fully prepared, and he did not look like that. I know Usman did a great job clinching him. I know Usman's strong as hell. He looks like a damn suit of armor. But at the same time, I don't think that was Masvidal 100%. Dana can say whatever he wants. The matchmakers can say whatever they want, but... I don't think that was Masvidal on 100%, and he admitted that himself, and that takes a big man to admit that.
I kind of hate it when Usman's like, well, yeah, I mean, I only had 6 days notice, too. I don't know why everyone keeps saying this about Masvidal, but, I mean, me too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I get it, dude. Like, yeah, different opponent. But, bro, you've been at camp working with your coach. I mean, you flew out to Colorado specifically for
six weeks, dude.
Like,
6 weeks, 8 weeks,
you've
whatever
been
it was.
Training and rocking and rolling. So it was interesting. A reporter asked about how Masvidal got coached up, and he said that, you know, his coach was kind
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown was FaceTiming
his agent,
his manager on the floor and giving him feedback, which is cool.
Mike Brown's the man, dude. He got diagnosed with coronavirus. He tested positive for coronavirus, so he wasn't able to travel to Abu Dhabi, man. But overall, I thought this was a badass card, dude. I was happy.
Oh,
I was
great card.
I thought the money was well worth it. I thought the ladies' fights, Hebos dominating, Rose doing a great job, and Jessica Andrade did awesome too, man. I was really impressed with her. The bantamweight fight, Piotr Jan, like we mentioned, going to be a problem in that division for a long time. I want him to learn. This isn't like me being rude. I want him to learn English because I feel like he could be a huge star. And I think he knows English a little bit, but I want him to get better at English because he could.
Some of those guys are a little tentative because they don't want to be an idiot and say something stupid and then feel like
he could be a rising star, man.
People are judging them that they don't know English well.
The second Russian-born champion in the UFC, obviously, Khabib Nurmagomedov is the other. Then when we look at the featherweight fight, Jake and I are pretty clear as that. We're pretty pissed about that decision, even though we both got it right in picking Volkanovski. We felt like that was a robbery. We thought Max won 3-2 in that. And Usman clearly won the fight, but is it the most exciting performance? Is Usman the most exciting champion? No, he's not.
It's just boring, dude.
It's tough, dude. It's tough because it's part of the game. It's part of the game when we both understand that, but it's not going to put asses in the seats or money, extra money in your pocket off the pay-per-view numbers, man. And maybe he's not worried about that. Maybe he's just worried about getting the wins and racking up the records.
Because he tied champion.
Yeah, he tied George St. Pierre's welterweight win streak of 12 with this win over Masvidal. So it's pretty good. He's up there with George St. Pierre on numbers like that. It's pretty impressive.
It's a big name next to. Yeah. Big name to be next to, dude.
I wish Amanda Ribas got a performance bonus for stopping Paige VanZant like that. Paige had a lot on the line. And I thought Ribas deserved a little $50K in the bank, but
I'd like to see what else she's got, man. I'd like to see more fights with her. I'd like to see her get more nods and larger fights.
I like her at strawweight and flyweight. I like her at both weight divisions. I think she should focus on strawweight right now as she's still like kind of in her younger phase of her career. She was awesome, dude. She's great personality too. I think she's a rising star.
What a phenomenal, just good-hearted, like just a fun, quirky, energetic,
she's good
sweetheart. So, hey, I'd love to fast forward. There's some more action coming up. Yeah. Did you want to preview anything specifically?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just looking at like the fights coming up on Fight Island. The next one's Wednesday, July 15th. The main event's Calvin Kattar and Dan Ige. And I love Calvin Kattar. His boxing's tremendous. He's a Boston dude. He just beat Jeremy Stephens, stopped him. They fought in Jacksonville at UFC 249. Mm-hmm. Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. I'm a big fan of that. The rest of the card, not the biggest fan of. Tim Elliott's a good flyweight. He challenged Demetrius Johnson after he won The Ultimate Fighter. Jimmy Rivera's moving up to featherweight to fight Cody Stammen. Cody Stammen was just active at UFC 250, I want to say, the Amanda Nunes card. So he's turning around pretty damn quick, and it's weird to see Jimmy Rivera with featherweight next to his name. But, yeah, so those are some of the fights on the main card. I really love Calvin Kattar against Dan Ige, though. I think Kattar's a legit prospect. He's number 6 ranked in the featherweight division, and he has been super active this year.
Great.
Super active.
I love it.
Great boxing, dude. And he's got great boxing.
People like ask, and it was in the conference too with Dana, the press post fight press conference. You know, people are complaining about not getting fights, and he's like, "Listen, like, who's complaining? It's on your contract. You have 3 fights. If you want to fight, let's do it." And so people sometimes complain about fights, but he pointed to Burns turning around, and you got Kattar coming back, and it's cool to see people wanting to fight and wanting to work.
The thing is about that fight, man. Dan Ige fought Edson Barbosa. Edson Barbosa made his featherweight debut against him after moving down from the lightweight division. And a lot of people thought Edson Barbosa won the fight. You know, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. They did a fight companion for that. And a lot of people were saying that Edson won that fight. So it's just interesting. Dan Ige's ranked number 10 in the featherweight division. This is a big fight for both of those dudes. I think Kattar taking this fight is a little bit dangerous. But at the same time, I have a lot of confidence in Calvin Kattar.
Love to see it.
Yeah, man. And then Saturday, July 18th, so next weekend, it's for the flyweight title. It's a free card on ESPN. It's supposed to be Davison Figueiredo against Joseph Benavidez. This is a rematch after Figueiredo missed weight in their title bout, and then he stopped Joseph Benavidez. The problem is Figueiredo just tested positive for the coronavirus again. He had it 2 months ago and then just tested positive again. So the thing is they put Alexander Pantoja on that card as well against, he was supposed to fight Askar Askarov, who's another Russian who's pretty damn good in the flyweight division. But I think Pantoja is going to be stepping in to that title fight against Joseph Benavidez, which is crazy, man. Benavidez has been around for a while. He's the last guy to beat Henry Cejudo too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would happen again if they fought, but this card's decent, man. Jack Hermanson versus Kelvin Gastelum. I'm a huge Kelvin Gastelum fan, and I went to see Jack fight Jacare Souza over in, it was like Fort Lauderdale area when he main evented that card. Marcin Casey's on this card. Super exciting, lightweight, just really great stand-up. Women's fight. But that Pantoja fight, obviously, that's going to be out against Askar Askarov, because Pantoja looks like he's going to be stepping in for that flyweight title.
Glad they scheduled Benavides like that so he could step in.
Yeah, dude. So something to look forward to next Saturday as well. And the big card that I'm looking forward to is Saturday, July 25th, dude. After that, Robert Whittaker, former middleweight champion, taking on Darren Till in the main event. And then when you look at this, you got Shogun Hua against Nogueira. I don't know if that's Little Nog or Big Nog. And then after that, you got Fabrizio Verdum, former heavyweight champion, taking on Alexander Gustafsson. Gustafsson, this is Gustafsson's heavyweight debut, man. And he was just retired. He's been taking some time off. He wasn't sure if he was going to come back. And he's looking for a new kind of scenery. So it's cool to see Gus going up to the heavyweight division after losing that title fight to John Jones pretty convincingly, getting stopped for the light heavyweight belt. But I'm interested to see how he does. Carla Sparza staying active, and she's taking on Marina Rodriguez. And then also, Paul Craig is taking on, I don't know how you say that name, dude. I have no fucking clue how you say
that. He's fighting,
name.
Dude. Paul Craig's fighting,
though, against...
That sounds like a good card, though, as you're going through these. That sounds like a really good card.
Cowboy Oliveira is also on the card as well, fighting Peter Sobota. I don't know him either, and I'm not going to pretend to know him, but the fight that I'm really looking forward to, dude, is obviously Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till. That's a huge matchup, because Darren Till beat Kelvin Gastelum last year at Madison Square Garden, I believe, on the Masvidal Diaz card for the BMF belt, and that was like... Till was going through a ton of shit just to get over here, to get a work visa, to fight in the U.S. and everything like that. He was having a ton of visa issues. And Robert Whittaker, obviously, we remember the last time he was out here, he lost in Australia against Israel Adesanya for the middleweight bout. So when you look at this, the number one contender versus Darren Till, the number five contender. And Whittaker, I'm super interested. This is going to be a stand-up battle. I'm really excited for it. I actually put money on Darren Till to win this fight just because I think Rob's been through a ton of wars. Obviously, notably the 2 5-round fights against Yoel Romero that he won. Just taking a ton of shots from Romero just starts weakening that chin. And Darren Till's got some power now that he's finally at the right weight class, in my opinion, at 185. Another one coming up is, we're not going to spend too much time talking about this one, but Holly Holm versus Arini. Yeah, this is a big one, because if Irene Aldana takes this fight, man, she's going to be the next contender for Amanda Nunes at the bantamweight division. And then on that card as well, the only other fight announced for that is Derek Brunson against Edmund Shahbazyan. And Edmund Shahbazyan's a big up-and-coming prospect, young dude at 185. So there's a lot of good middleweight bouts coming up. We're expecting to hear something about Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa as well, which I'm excited about. But the big one, obviously, in August is UFC 252, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier, the trilogy.
Yes.
Also on that card, so let's hear this. You got the co-main event is Junior Dos Santos versus Jairzinho Rozenstrike. Below that is, these names, dude. Magomed Ankalaev.
Anyone you recognize?
Ian Kutalaba. Kutalaba's huge. He's a powerful dude. That's going to be just a war, because this is the second time these two have fought. Pedro Munhoz versus Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar, the legend. I also put some money on him to win that fight because he's a huge underdog for some reason. And then leading off that main card is our boy, Sugar Sean O'Malley, taking on Chito Vera, who's Marlon Vera, who just came off a loss. So Chito Vera, Sean O'Malley's been asking for this fight. He's going to lead off the pay-per-view. That's UFC 252 happening on August 15th, which Jake and I are really excited about, especially, obviously, the Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier fight. I know Jake's a big Stipe Miocic fan.
Yeah.
And I love Stipe. I want Stipe to win the fight, but I just see Cormier kind of going out on top, because this is his last fight. He's already announced that this is a retirement fight. This is his last one, no matter how it goes, how good it goes, how bad it goes. This is it, whether it's win, lose, draw, or other. This is Daniel Cormier's last fight of his UFC career.
He's had a long historic career, so I know he's into broadcasting. He does shows with Ariel Helwani now, so good for this guy. I like Stipe in the fight. We'll talk more about it soon. Going to be a great card. A
lot of fights to look forward to, people. A lot of
over
fights
this
to
next
look
month,
to.
Continuing the action, which is great for UFC. We'll talk more about NBA starting up. There's probably going to be news around NFL and college football and schedules and all this stuff. But UFC just keeps rocking and rolling, so kudos to them. Dana's worked hard to get these guys fights and keep everything rolling, so that's much appreciated. And you may find yourself tuning in more and more to these fights because there's no or less sports on, so you may become a fan. And UFC might take market share away from other sports or develop new fans because this is some great action to watch if you're into sports in general. So props to these guys. Props to you listening to us. Great night last night, 251. Yeah. Obviously, things we talked about today, up and down, some great. Aldo's rocking and rolling, got his ass kicked. It's okay. He's looking fresh, though. Usman dominant. Hopefully, we see Jorge Masvidal sometime in the future. Another shot.
Hopefully by the end of the year, man.
Love to see Hibas going at it. Maybe Thug Rose and Zhang Weili rocking and rolling sometime soon. So, we'll see. Thanks for tuning in. What do they got to look for?
Hey, man, if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us a follow at No Days Off Podcast on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening once again. Jake and I will be back real, real soon. I woke up for some
potato over my gun. See you later, y'all. Have a good one.
If Masvidal won that fight, it would have been Masvidal Connor. Biggest fight in UFC history.